Tim, I believe that's going to be as soon as today, isn't it?
Yeah, up in Saginaw.
Oh, you got a long drive. Are you up there yet?
No. I got fish to fry before I go.
All right. Well, couldn't wait to talk with you. I wanted to get your take on Rick Jones asking his colleagues to pay for 20% of their health care.
Well, it turns out he's not alone. Representative John Switalski and Diane Slavin, Democrats over in the House, are asking the same thing, and they see his 20% for health care and raise him 20% in a pay cut for lawmakers.
Maybe this bill will get passed in Mount Pleasant, huh?
Well, you know, Rick Snyder may rue the day that he came up with the term shared sacrifice. Because the Democrats are sticking this right back in his face. You know, once you lay that out there, that there's going to be shared sacrifice, then the game now becomes who is sharing in the sacrifice and who isn't. Mr. Jones is suggesting that lawmakers share. And now what do lawmakers do? They say, no, we're special. We're a privileged class. We shouldn't be doing what everybody else is doing. It becomes a sticky wicket.
Do you think Rick Jones is resented because he is in the media as much as he is?
By whom?
By his colleagues.
I think that's a potential problem. It has not surfaced very visibly. I mean, he had a little run-in with the guy who was the press secretary for Randy Richardville. And in that contest, you know who won and who lost. The sitting senators usually win. But he has that knack. And I'm sure there are some lawmakers that in their quietest moments say, geez, I wish I could get all that attention.
I wanted to ask you about the bridge from Detroit to over to Windsor.
Mm-hmm.
Did some reading over the weekend where apparently Senator Levin and Stabenow are still kind of picking around for funding for that. What's the latest from you, from what you know?
What we are waiting on right now is Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly is drafting some legislation that the administration hopes will break the logjam on this thing by creating two authorities to run the bridge, which would basically take MDOT out of the picture. For some conservative Republicans, MDOT has been part of the problem. And so this is sort of an end run around them. That legislation has been in the works for a couple of weeks now, and we keep being told that it's coming. Well, so is Christmas. Maybe we'll see it this week.
When it comes to unemployment extension, it has been a sticky issue for years now. There's always seems to be something tacked on to try and keep the fraud from happening, but that never seems to happen.
Well, they cut it from 26 weeks to 20 weeks for new people that are coming on board. Looks a little punitive from the Republican side, that's what it is, and at least the 150,000 people that need the help are going to get the help.
Did you find out who was hijacking your blog in the Oakland Press?
Didn't even bother to look.
No?
No, I mean, why should I bother?
You didn't have to make a phone call and have him take that off?
Nope, I don't know. It's still not there, is it? I mean, we've gone beyond that. We're 5, 6, 7 stories beyond that, so I don't think it's a problem.
What's your take on the cop shops around the state being shut down?
Interesting story. I just wrote a blog today on that. Years ago, there was a direct correlation between members of the Appropriations Committee and where the state police posts ended up. If you were on Appropriations and you wanted a state police post, you got one. Dominic Jacobetti had one in Nagani. Okay, former Senator Richard Allen had one up in just outside of Elma. And now that legacy is done because now they basically are shuttering all these things, and the cop shops now become your cruiser. You've got your computer in there. You got your communications. You got your cup holder for your coffee and your donuts. The only thing that's missing is the laboratory.
Interesting blog entry for you on Sunday, how with the Republican and Democrats kind of warring at each other, the independents become a power player.
Well, they always have been over the years. When you look at elections, it's the independent voter that decides who wins elections because the R's and D's line up pretty much along the party lines of who's running. There's a little bleed over there. We saw in the last governor's race that Rick Snyder basically won with independents and Democrats who decided to stay home, who didn't show up. But independents have always been the people a little more sophisticated and, dare I say, a little smarter. They tend to vote the issue and not the party, and they are much more fun to watch because they are a little more mercurial in how they approach elections, and they are the ones that actually have the power to decide who gets elected.
And Pete Hoekstra was on this program a couple of weeks ago and I asked him if he was going to run for governor, and he said he hadn't.
You mean U.S. Senate.
Or U.S. Senate, the seat held by Debbie Stabenow, and he kind of avoided it, but you don't believe he's going to run for that?
I'm thoroughly convinced that he will not.
Okay, just beat up from the gubernatorial campaign?
Well, you know, it's hard to get inside people's heads, but here's my take on Mr. Hoekstra, who's a pretty good guy, by the way. I think he has discovered, as some people do, that there is life after Congress. For example, I was told by a source that he actually went on vacation with his wife down in Florida and found out, hey, this is kind of fun. So why do you want to go through that grueling thing again? A lot of this is driven by ego, and I just don't think that he has that desire nor that ego drive to have to do this again. And he's landed on his feet financially. The one thing he's waiting for that he would just love to have is he would like to be a paid consultant on either the Fox Network or CNN. And that has not fallen into place, but everything else that he wanted to fall into place has. And so my intel on this thing is that he'll announce in a couple of weeks that he's simply not going to do it.
Just in the short period of time he's been in office, what kind of grade would you give Rick Snyder for what he's tried to do, what he's accomplished, and what he's got on the table?
Well, this is an appropriate time to do it with the spring break and lawmakers out now for the next couple of weeks or so. I give him probably a 9 on doing what he said he would do. I probably give him about an 8 on getting it done. And no, it has to be a lower grade. And I give him a 3 on answering questions. But you know what? For him, that's a 10.
So he's off to a good start.
Oh, and yeah. He's off to a good start.
And what's going to be interesting, Tim Wright, is when these lawmakers come back through June. That's going to be fun.
Well, we'll see what they can do in this interim period. They're going to take a little flack for taking 2 weeks off, but this, as Randy Richardfield told me, this way we've always done it, which is a very dangerous thing to say. You know, Randy, wake up and smell the roses. Are you taking 2 weeks off for a break?
I haven't had a day off in a year and 2 months.
Well, there you go. You know, but the leadership will supposedly work on the budget. There was a critical meeting last Thursday that the Senate Republicans went into the governor and said, your pension tax is not going anywhere, Sir Governor, and he said, well, I'm not throwing in a towel. So now it really becomes, does he know how to work the levers of government to get what he wants? And on this one, I think he's going to take a little bit of a bath on the pension tax. I think he may get a modified plan, but it's a work in progress.
What are you doing for Channel 6 today?
We're going to talk about the time off for lawmakers and let Mr. Richardville explain himself, and we'll do that, and then we're out the door up to Saginaw to speak to the Economic Club up there.
We appreciate you.
Well, likewise, my friend.